John 4, and this morning, just for time's sake, the passage that I want us to study really takes up much of the chapter, but I want us to just start with the first 14 verses here this morning, and we'll read and expound what the Word of God has for us today. The Bible says in John 4, verse 1, it says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Let's stop here and let us pray. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to preach and study your word this morning. And as we've enjoyed the opportunity to sing hymns of praise and to give and to fellowship with your people, we ask that during these moments you would arrest our attention, our focus, you would remove all distractions. And Lord, we want your Holy Spirit to just move and work in our hearts, to teach us, give us truth that we need, confront us, encourage us. Lord, I pray you'd use me as your vessel for this time, that you would be glorified by all that's said and done, Father. May we see genuine repentance and salvation. May we see genuine longing to share Christ with a lost and dying world amongst the group here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching this morning on Jesus and the woman at the well. I know a very familiar passage for many of us. I really enjoy the Gospel of John. In fact, I love it so much. Whenever I talk to new believers, I always recommend if they want to start in their Bible reading. If you want to have a regular Bible reading, start here. I know sometimes you want to start at the beginning. What's the first book of the Bible? That was a pop quiz. You guys passed Genesis. And that's great. Listen, just read the Bible. Just read it, okay? That's fine. But I think it's more ideal for new believers to start in the New Testament, start with the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, the focus of it is believing on Christ. It's realizing who Jesus really is and what Christ promises to do for us. And it's just story after story, historical records of Christ, his ministry, and his deity, the fact that he's God. And here we see Jesus come to speak with this Samaritan woman, and it's a rich example for us of what finding true fulfillment in life is all about. One who drinks from the wells of the world will thirst again. That's the principle, that whatever pleasure you get from the world, it's fleeting. It's not lasting. It's vain. There's not much to it. That's the lesson here. So things like success, wealth, fame, these are some of the countless springs that people along their journey in life stop to drink at, only to rise and find that they offered no lasting inward satisfaction, no enduring personal fulfillment. This is a story about seeking the truth. This is a story about redemption and acceptance. If Jesus could forgive a woman like this, who is in immorality, wicked sin, of course he can forgive you and I today. He can forgive anyone, amen? His love reaches the farthest sinner and brings him into forgiveness and acceptance, right? And so the woman here, she's never named. She's just called the Samaritan woman, or the woman at the well, we often call her. But yet, this encounter with Jesus is powerful. It's actually the longest encounter we have recorded for us in the Gospel of John. And she represents, you could say, the lowest of the low in her day, being a woman, being a Samaritan, right? The lifestyle she was leading, that made her someone that was disregarded by everyone. She was a social outcast, you would say. It's interesting. No one wants to deal with her. She's of a race that's demeaned, disregarded, that no one wants to have dealings with, that's despised. But she has this holy encounter with Jesus Christ that explains what eternal salvation is all about and acceptance is all about. It's interesting. What happened after she met Jesus? Well, the Bible tells us there was a great change. Look at verse 28. Verse 28 says, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him." Now she's bringing other people to Jesus. She's so excited. She left the water pot. That's the reason she was even there, was to get water. But something happened after this conversation. Something radically transformed this woman. She came to Jesus. She met Jesus, and he changed everything. What's happened in your life since you've come to Christ? Have you come to Christ? Have you come to him in salvation, seeking after him, thirsting after him, as presented here in John 4? This woman recognized that she had a thirst that only Christ could satisfy. And so vital, transforming, so satisfying, that with just one sip of faith, her entire life was changed. Her deepest thirst was quenched. And so I want to look at some lessons from this woman at the well. Number one this morning, we need to be loved. We need to be loved. That's something that God created within the very fiber of our being. We have that desire to be accepted, to be loved by others. And I know we say, well, I have self-love, and it's just, I'm a lone wolf, and I can just be independent all by myself, and I'm fine. And the reality is, we can put on that tough, rough exterior, but we all internally have a desire to be loved. Here in this story, Jesus is traveling from Judea to Galilee, and he passes through Samaria. And I want you to know that although it was the most easiest road, it was the best way to take, most Jews didn't take that road. They avoided that path. That was like going the other side of the tracks, if you will. We don't go in those neighborhoods. We don't go to those areas. We don't go with those people. We don't associate with that group. And so the Jews despised the Samaritans. If you know your Bible, there's a history there. They despised each other. There was great distrust and dislike. The Samaritans were a mix of ethnicities and Israelites. That's going back to the time of the Babylonian captivity. And literally, the Samaritans kind of melded together some of what Moses taught with what the pagan religions taught, and they melded together their own religion, basically. And so there are various superstitions. They didn't worship in Jerusalem. They created their own temple in Mount Gerizim, right? And they had their own place of worship. And so obviously the Jews had a religious reason to hate them, but even just from an ethnic or racial perspective, they looked down on the Samaritans. And she knew it. It was very well known, right? Look at her response when Jesus comes to talk to her in verse 9. She says, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And so, Jesus Christ here is crossing those social divides, because there's nobody outside of the grasp of his love. You see, this woman realized she was rejected. Society has rejected me. Why are you coming to me? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, right? Christ's love for sinners is on display here. We see a lesson about God's appointments. You know, God has divine appointments. You might think this morning you're the last person God wants to make an appointment with. But can I tell you, God is seeking after sinners. He's seeking after you. He's rearranging his schedule to come after you. And there's no accidents with God. I believe everyone sitting here this morning, it's not by accident. Whether you were dragged here, whether you woke up this morning saying, I want to be here, you are here on purpose. God has something for you. He's seeking after you because he loves you. He's given this appointed time for me to preach this appointed message so that you can listen and make a decision today. That's what's going on. You see, none of us are here by accident. I don't know who you are. I don't know your story, but God does. And he has something to say to you today. He's seeking after you today. And so this woman is here. She's coming to draw water. And it's interesting. It says at the sixth hour, the Jewish day started about 6 a.m. So it's noon, right? It's high noon in a desert climate. Nobody's outside getting water at that time. No, the ladies would get water in the morning. That's the best time, right? Early in the morning, they would go. I mean, I've been to the islands, and you know some of the ladies, they carry water pots, and sometimes they don't even need any hands. It's amazing to me. But they would do that in the mornings, and they would talk. It was a social time, actually. They would, hey, let me tell you about my husband. I don't know. Let me tell you about my kids and what's going on. And they would just talk. That was their time to connect. But she didn't go in the morning. She went at high noon. Why? She's avoiding people. She's like, listen, they don't want to talk to me. They hate me. I hear them whispering whenever I go there. That's so dumb. Now she's with this guy this week. Now she's doing this, and her business is probably all around town gossiping. And so she doesn't want to be around people. She feels like she's just left out. She's been rejected by society. And the reality is she was living an immoral lifestyle. We're going to get to it in just a moment. But she had six men that she was engaging in relationships with, bouncing around, and Christ even called her out for it. She was living an immoral lifestyle. And she was looking clearly for love, looking for approval from the world and not finding it. Wow, how many people are living life like that? They're bouncing around. For some people, it's relationships. Some people, it's money. Some people, it's just pleasure, thrill-seeking. Whatever it is, they're just bouncing around looking for something to satisfy the need of their soul, and they're not finding it in the world. And so here comes Jesus by divine appointment to come talk to this woman because he cared for her spiritual well-being. I want you to know this morning, she was deep in the crutches of sin. I want you to know this morning, she was far from God, but not too far out of reach for his love to draw her to himself. See, Christ went out of his way to come. He must needs go through Samaria to reach this one woman at the well. And she would have to understand acceptance. And we need to understand what it means to be accepted. Go with me quickly to Ephesians chapter 1. The world has a lot to say about acceptance, especially these days. And we live in America, a pluralistic society, which means that we're a melting pot. And so we come to understand of accepting each other's cultures and who we are and that type of thing. And that has a place. But acceptance is not necessarily total approval of one's behavior and action, right? Love does not mean approval of everyone's sinful actions and behaviors. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1, we are accepted, but on what terms? The Bible says we are accepted in Christ. Look at Ephesians 1 verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That's accepted in Christ. That means we come to Christ. He will never cast anyone out who comes to him. We are accepted in the Beloved. Praise the Lord for that. Maybe there's some people that are not accepted in their families, in their workplace, in society. But you come to Jesus Christ, you are accepted in the Beloved. That's what he's promised. Let's go to John chapter 14. I told you I like the book of John a lot. Let's look at the Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 6. I know many of us know this scripture. It says, Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The gospel is inclusive. Anyone who comes to Christ will be accepted and forgiven if they repent and believe on Christ. But the gospel is exclusive, that it's only through Christ you have this salvation, you have this forgiveness of sin, not through Buddha, not through Muhammad, not through Mary, not through the Pope, but through Jesus Christ. Not through Carl Lubin, not through Bible Baptist Church, not through your baptism or your good works or the good deeds you try to do in society to try to impress God. It's only through Christ. There's only one way to God. It's through Jesus Christ, the Jesus way. So the gospel is inclusive. Yes, whosoever will may come, but it's exclusive. You must come only to Jesus Christ. He's that living water. And this Samaritan woman had to realize this. She was rejected, but she could be accepted if she simply understood who Jesus was. The reality is, we have a free will. You can choose to make your own decisions, you know? You can choose to live your life however you want to live. You can choose to hear what I'm saying and reject it. That's your prerogative. But you do not choose your outcomes. God chooses the outcomes. All who come to Christ are forgiven and have eternal life. All who reject Christ, the Bible says, are condemned. They'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. Yes, there is a hell. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. Yes, there is a judgment for sin. There is a penalty for rejecting salvation. It is hell. It's an awful place, a terrible place that God Himself doesn't want us to go to. That's why Jesus came. And so, have you accepted Christ? Is the question. And when you come to Christ, He accepts you. You're accepted in the Beloved. Number two this morning, we need what only Christ can provide. We need to be loved, but then secondly, we need what only Christ can provide. We need to be forgiven. We need to be brought in a right standing, a right relationship with God. And only Jesus can do that for us. So let's go back to John 4. Jesus and the Samaritan woman here, they eventually engage in a conversation about worship. And she's coming from her Samaritan religion. Hey, we worship over here. You Jews worship over there. They're having this conversation. And Christ really lays it down and says, it's not about location. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. You worship God in spirit and in truth. You got to really know who God is and walk with God. And so many people, they focus on all these external things that have nothing to do with a real relationship with God. And that was her need. She had this need to be forgiven and have a right relationship with God. And so it's interesting. Jesus comes to her initially and he says to her, hey, can you get me a drink? Right? In verse 7, John 4, 7, hey, can you give me a drink? And it's interesting. Jesus Christ is God, but he's also man. He's robed in human flesh. And as a man, he hungered, he thirsted, right? And so I read this week. It's interesting. He who gives rest is weary. He who is Israel's Messiah speaks to a Samaritan woman. He who has living water asks for a drink from a well. And you soul winners, take note what he's doing here. He's using this as an opportunity to pivot to the gospel. He's using an earthly illustration, one that everybody's familiar with, being thirsty. He's using that to draw a spiritual analogy that we need something spiritually, just as physically. You'll die if you don't satiate your thirst. Well, if you don't come to the living water, you'll perish. And he's bringing this beautiful picture out with this conversation. He interests this woman in living water, verses 10 through 15. And Jesus knew that this woman and everyone in that village had come to this well daily to satisfy their natural thirst. And he used this picture of a spiritual need that everyone has. This conversation that he has with the Samaritan woman underscores the fact that he is the Messiah. That means he's the Savior of the world. It's interesting to me, if you look at John 4, and this woman in verse number 12 says, art thou greater? I want you to underline that phrase. Art thou greater than our father Jacob? So when the conversation first started, she doesn't think much of Christ. You're just a nice man. You have some good teachings, perhaps, but you're not greater than Jacob. You're not greater than Abraham or some of these patriarchs, right? Now look at verse 42. Let's skip down to John 4. And verse 42, now she's a soul winner witnessing, and it says here, and said unto the woman, the rest of the village said this, now we believe, not because of thy sayings, not because of the disciples' teachings, but because, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Listen, the rest of the villagers understood. Where did they get that from? This Samaritan woman who at one time said, you're no greater than Jacob. Now you are the Messiah. You are the Savior of the world. And everyone around me is going to know about it. Everyone around me is going to hear that you are the Savior, the only Savior. And so we need what only Christ can provide. He provides salvation. When we talk about salvation, we're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about being born again. We're talking about having heaven as your home, knowing Christ as your Savior. That's what we're talking about. And Jesus is making an amazing offer to this woman and to everyone. He's making an amazing offer that if you come and drink, you will leave with lasting satisfaction. You'll never thirst again. The key is to drink of the water that Jesus gives. In other words, for salvation, salvation is a table that's already been prepared. The penalty for sin had to be paid, and that's why Jesus died on the cross. He hung on that cross not because the Jews hated him and the Romans hated him. He died on the cross for your sin and my sin. The Bible says he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Right? The Bible talks about how literally he hung on that cross and said, Father, he cried out to his Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Right? The Father turned his back on the Son because Christ became a curse on that cross. He died on that cross. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again, proving that payment was made for our sin. Sin's debt was paid in full. Now there's victory over sin, victory over death, victory over hell. So the payment's already been made. The table's already been prepared. Salvation means I just come to the table and receive what Christ has accomplished. Some people have this idea, I have to set the table myself. I have to start doing this, to stop doing that, and I got to change this and change that and twist this and twist that. And listen, is there a life of obedience God wants us to live? Absolutely. But that's after you're saved. Now you just come to the water. You just come and drink. You just come and receive what Christ has done for you. Amen? See, the gospel is a gospel of grace. Grace means without merit. Without having to do a thing, God has given you something. You just have to receive it by faith. Let me share with you a scripture, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, salvation is something that Christ has accomplished. We just receive by faith. And so this illustration of thirsting and coming to water is appropriate. Here's what Charles Spurgeon said. What does a thirsty man do to get rid of his thirst? He drinks. Perhaps there's no better representation of faith in all the Word of God than that. To drink is to receive, to take in the refreshing draught, and that is all. A man's face may be unwashed, but he can still drink. He may be a very unworthy character, but yet a draught of water will remove his thirst. Drinking is such a remarkably easy thing. It is even more simple than eating. And so it's a beautiful picture of the gospel that you just come and drink, receive, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been. You just come and drink, and Christ, that living water, will satisfy, will transform, will save, will deliver. So this woman at the well is awestruck by this conversation. In John 4, verse 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Hey, I want this. Yes, I need this. But first, Christ had to go over a few things. He had to have her acknowledge her need. See, you won't come to the water unless you know you're thirsty and what your needs are. And verse 16 and following, he shifts the conversation to her sin. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that thou saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And Jesus deals with her sin. You see, you won't get saved unless you first acknowledge that you're lost. You won't come to salvation unless you realize you are a sinner in need of salvation. But if you acknowledge that you are a sinner, I have good news for you. You are now eligible to come to Jesus Christ to be forgiven of your sin. You now qualify. If you can acknowledge, I am a sinner, I have sinned against God, I have rebelled against God, I am deserving of God's judgment, you are a perfect candidate to now receive the forgiveness that Jesus offers. But so long as you say, no, I'm not a sinner, no, I go to church, I do good things, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, and so-and-so does this, I don't do that. Or we make this idea that hell is only for really bad, like terrorists and murderers and crazy people, and we are not of that ilk, so we're not sinners. And we build this paradigm that we don't even need the gospel anymore. We're just good on our own. No, sinner friend, you must acknowledge your need. Cultivate that thirst. I am a sinner. I need the Savior. And so this woman had to decide what she loved more, her sin or the Messiah. That's the issue here. And we must see Christ for who he truly is. In verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. It's a man's greatest need to be forgiven and brought into a right relationship with God. We talked about this woman clearly received Christ because we see the change in her life. Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? He's not just a prophet. He's not just someone that's underneath Jacob. He is the Messiah, the Christ. She saw Christ for who he truly was. God wants you to see Christ for who he truly is. He wants you to see Christ as your only hope, your only deliverance, your only way of forgiveness is through Christ. God wants you to come to the one who has the answer, to come to Jesus, to not delay, but come right away and satiate your thirst in Christ. And so Christ has what we need, but thirdly, we need to share with others what Christ has given to us. We need to share with others what Christ has provided for us. This woman went from a sinner to a soul winner. Amen. She was gloriously saved, transformed, and now she couldn't help but tell everybody around her what Jesus did for her. You know, sometimes people come to me and ask questions, say, Pastor, I didn't go to Bible school, and I haven't gone through all these curriculums and programs. And how can I be a witness? And what course can I take? Or what can I do so that I can be effective in soul winning? And I know that there's courses, there's books that you can read, there's helpful resources, and certainly there's passages in the Bible. But can I tell you the best way to witness to someone else is just tell them what happened to you. Tell them what Jesus did in your life. I mean, if he did something in your life, right? If you truly have him, if you've been born again, you ought to know about it and tell people about it. Tell them, listen, I can't explain all the doctrines and verses, but I can tell you what he's done for me. I can tell you how he saved my soul, delivered my soul. He's given me peace, joy, contentment. I find the meaning of life in him. He is everything he's told me about and more. And I've come to him, and you need to come to him too. Be a witness. This lady didn't have an inkling of Bible knowledge, but she knew what Christ did for her. And I'm sure there were some people that were wondering, here comes this crazy lady. We know what she was doing a few weeks ago or whatever, but now she's coming talking about this Jesus. But we know from her testimony in the scripture here that many believed because of her testimony. Look at verse 39. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Wow, what a powerful example of witnessing. At one time, she was ashamed to go draw water in the morning because she was ashamed of her sin. Now she is unashamed of her Savior. I believe she started going in the mornings now. She started telling them, hey, I want to sit next to you and tell you what Jesus did for me. That's a true witness. And we need to embrace that. I was talking with someone the other day, and we were bemoaning the fact that so many times Christians are silent. Somewhere along the line, we've bought this lie that Christians are supposed to be like undercover agents. You don't tell anybody you're a Christian. And if someone happens to hear you're a Christian, it's like, oh, I am too. And they didn't know that for like years and decades. And it's like, why is this a big secret? Is he the Savior of the world or not? Is he the answer or not? Why keep that from people? No, we need to embrace the boldness of this Samaritan woman that I have something and I need to share it with everyone around me. And there's many ways to share it. You know, we have gospel tracts that we pass out. Take some tracts with you. Pass them out. We have a website. We have a live stream. Share that. I know many are on Facebook. Some people come to me, Pastor, when you're preaching, I'm not texting. I'm sharing the live stream. I said, amen. Praise the Lord. There's so many ways you can publish and proclaim the gospel. Do it. And you know what? You might fall on your face. There are going to be people that are going to reject what you have to say, but that's fine. Just move on to the next one. There are people that God's working on that you're going to reach if you just stay at it and stay faithful. And this woman was unashamed of her Savior. I'm sure many of you know about the Emancipation Proclamation in 1865, which freed all the slaves from chattel slavery here in the United States. However, it took time for that news to actually spread for individual slaves to be set free. There were many rural communities where the news did not reach for several years. In fact, there are some reports of slavery continuing through the mid-1900s, perhaps. The slaves had not been told of the freedom that was available to them. And folks, 2,000 years ago, God made an Emancipation Proclamation that because of Christ, we are set free from sin. You and I, we know about it, but let's go and tell the world. Tell them you don't have to be in your sin and confusion and darkness. You can be set free. You can come to the water and just drink. Say, Pastor, I'm not like you. I've lived a sinful life perhaps, and I have this baggage of sin. Anyone can just come and drink. You just come and receive Christ into your life, and he will change everything. He is the living water. He promised you'll never thirst again. I remember a few years ago, I saw an interview with Tom Brady. He, at the time, was the quarterback, three-time Super Bowl winning quarterback of the New England Patriots. I'm a Giants fan, so I don't really care too much for the Patriots. But the interview was pretty interesting because this is a man that was at the peak of his craft that boys around the country and world probably revered and looked up to. Millionaire, three-time Super Bowl champion. He had everything. And in this interview with 60 Minutes, he's being interviewed and asked several questions. How do you feel? You're on the top of the mountain. Everybody loves you. You've won the Super Bowl. And he sat there and said, you know, I feel like there's got to be something more than this. Is that all there is? He talked about how I've accomplished all of these accolades, but I'm still empty inside. I don't feel fulfilled. And the interviewer asked him, so what's the answer? And he said this, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. Those of us that have come to Christ, we can sing like the hymn writer said, hallelujah, I have found him. Hallelujah, I have found him, whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. I'm probably never going to win a Super Bowl. I'm probably never going to be a millionaire to the likes of Tom Brady. But I'll tell you this, I'm so thankful I've come to Jesus. I'm so thankful I've come to living water that as I follow him and seek him, he satisfies my life. That as I serve him, as I live my life the way he wants me to live, that's when I come into union with my purpose, with why I was created. Oh, folks, if you get anything from my message today. Come to Jesus and just drink. Come to Christ. Accept Him and He will accept you and the Beloved. Right? Come to Him and He'll wash your sins away. He'll cleanse you and bring you into His own. Decide. You must decide. It's not automatic. You must decide, I need to come to Christ. For those of us that have been saved, why are you keeping it to yourself? Share it with someone this week. That coworker that you happen to share a lunch break with, that person next to you on the train or subway, you can, with your mask on or whatever, give someone a track. It's okay to sit next to somebody and talk to them and tell them about Jesus. Maybe for some of us, there's unsaved people in our family, husbands, wives, children, extended relatives, and oftentimes the words we say falls on deaf ears because they heard it for so long. I believe by our lifestyle, we can win some of those people. Show them the love of Christ. Don't just talk about it. Show them. Right? Use opportunities to point them to the love of God. Be a witness for them. May we show people the living water. May we show them that the pathway to Christ, it really is simple. Simple faith in Christ is all it is to come to salvation. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for this tremendous encounter that you had with the woman at the well and the radical transformation that took place in her life. Lord, thank you that you are the living water and you command us to just come and drink, that whosoever will may come and we can drink freely, that you don't cast anyone who comes to you, Lord. But Lord, may we acknowledge that you are the only way, that you are the only source of living water. You are the only source of genuine satisfaction, forgiveness, a right relationship with God. It's only through you. Lord, my prayer is twofold this morning, that there would be some sinners here this morning, perhaps, that would repent and put their faith in Christ once and for all for salvation. And secondly, that Christians would be filled with the Holy Spirit's boldness to be a witness, to be like this woman that simply just go and tell what Christ has done in our lives, that we are witness that He is the Savior of the world. Would you help us, Father? Give us the grace, the strength to do that. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, we're going to have an invitation, and that means there's a chance to respond. The illustration of coming to water is an appropriate one because the water is there, but we must come and receive what's available. And maybe there's someone this morning. You say, Pastor, that's me. I need to be saved. I need to come to Christ. I need to receive that living water, just like that Samaritan woman. The Holy Spirit's talking to me about that. If that's you, I would love to pray for you. I would love to pray that God makes salvation clear, the gospel open to your eyes. How many would say, Pastor, that's me. Would you pray for me? I need to be saved. Would you slip your hand up now? I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out, but I want to pray for you. Pastor, I need to come to that living water. God's spoken to me. I don't want to delay. I want to come to genuine faith in Christ. Oh, how many of us as God's people would say, Pastor, I want to make sure I'm a witness, just like this Samaritan woman. Would you pray for me that I can be a witness to the lost around me? Would you raise your hand if that's you this morning? I thank God. Amen. I know we have many soul winners in the church and people that love to give out tracts and love to talk to people, invite people, and pray for people. We need more of that. I'm going to have our pianist begin to play softly a hymn of invitation. And let's all stand together. Let's all stand. And let's have a time of prayer. If you want to come to the altar is open. Oh, let's commit to the Lord what He wants us to do. And again, if you need to be saved, you need to come to the Savior and drink of the water that He gives. We want to show you from the Word of God what it is to be saved.